In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked in the room where the disciples were, for fear of the temple authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They had heard the news. Mary and the other women, depending on which gospel account you read, had told them, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them everything he had said to her. The first time she came back with news of an empty tomb, two disciples went running to check up on her idle tale, as Luke calls it. But this time, no one went running to see if they could find the risen Jesus. Too much to believe, perhaps. I wonder what they were feeling. We read that they were afraid, but if I can make any guesses based on our current shared yet isolated experience of a global pandemic, I wonder if there were as many different combinations of emotions in that room as there were people. In that locked house, there was fear of possible harm, of reprisals from the authorities or the crowds. There was sadness and deep grief. One they loved had died. Jesus, whom they had trusted, followed, and shaped their lives around, had died. Died by crucifixion, a public display designed to traumatize the public into obedience. Who in that room had gained a new sense of purpose with this Rabbi Jesus, now that their daily vocation had suddenly ended or abruptly changed? Where did that leave them? Who did that make them? Were there some who felt angry that they must have been wrong about everything, or ashamed about how they had fled from the garden? Were there others who were consumed by wondering or worrying about the future? Maybe there were even some who had been so scared by the increased negative attention that they were feeling relieved and grateful to be inside where they were safe. Was Peter's spontaneous fishing trip avoidance or good self-care, doing one small thing he could have control over when so much was out of control? We can only imagine all of the emotions churning within those disciples that evening in the locked house. But Jesus didn't wait for them to pull themselves together and come out to find him. Jesus came right into their locked house, and he brought them his peace. Before he died, Jesus had said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. But I do not give as the world gives." Sometimes the world gives peace that glosses over what is wrong, that whispers that if we are fine, our neighbors must be too. Don't worry about it. But a crisis like the one we're in is revealing those who are most vulnerable in our communities and around the world. The peace of Jesus doesn't ignore pain. Jesus has lived the pain of the world. The peace of Jesus promises that life is more powerful than death, even after we've seen death close up. Jesus will come into our locked rooms to say, "Yes, this is awful, but it is not the end." God's love and power are always making new beginnings, even when we have to remind ourselves of that every hour on the hour. Even when we see nothing past our own grief or sorrow for the pain of the world. And we see God's love and power in their fullest when God became human, died on a cross, and on the third day broke the tomb open. Resurrection is life again. It's rebirth. It's transformation out of brokenness. Because Christ is risen, he will bring his peace and forgiveness into wherever we have closed ourselves off and show us how to bravely open the door to resurrection. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Something new and beautiful and powerful can and will be born among us. Watch for it. And don't wait to get it all figured out. Just go and tell everyone, I have seen the Lord. A week ago, I turned off my computer after our Palm Sunday service, and I suddenly didn't know what to do. There was nothing else standing between me and planning Easter Sunday worship, and I didn't know how. I missed your faces. I missed your smiles at my impeccably timed jokes. I missed your tears at moving experiences. In that moment, I had no idea how you were all doing, and I was weary of talking to a camera all week long. I felt like I was in my locked house with confusing chaos happening outside, and I wondered, like the disciples might have, God, what are you doing out there? What are you up to? What are you still working at that we can grab hold of? And how do we do that in this new reality when we can't even be together? What will Easter even look like right now? And then Maggie Thiessen reminded me. Maggie surprised me with a video of her reading a book that she wrote, partially adapted, and illustrated, and it came to me when I was tired. Maggie reminded me that church might be different right now, but Easter will still be Easter because God loves us. Maggie reminded me that God is always up to something, and God gives us a whole lot of grace for figuring out how to grasp hold of it. This is the gift that Maggie gave me.
Hi, I am going to read this to you, Pastor Alyssa, so let's move on. God gave us Easter. God gave us Easter because God loves us. Oh, I am going to tell you how Easter started. Jesus loves us and we love him too. But some people didn't love him, so they put him on a cross so that he could die. Oh, wait. Anyway, the picture. Told them Jesus has risen. He is alive today. His friends were very happy. We celebrate Easter because Jesus lived again on that first Easter morning. And here's a little book. There's not much. On Easter Sunday, we go to church and sing about Jesus. And here's a little cross. Right here. For the cross. Churches place crosses on their steeples to remind us of Jesus' love. The end. Bye.
Maggie made me feel like Peter, who stood up in Acts 10, which Emma read, and said, once again, I have understood a little bit more about the bigger picture, about this experience with Jesus that we have lived and preached, and somehow which still always teaches us something new when we pay attention. I remember the two Marys in Matthew's telling of the Easter story, who, we read, left the empty tomb with fear and great joy. Whether or not they were completely convinced yet by what the angel had told them in that moment, they went quickly, ready to proclaim the mystery of what they had seen and heard. And it was in that moment, in fear and joy, yet ready to announce the good news, that Jesus met them on the road. Jesus meets us in our fear and our great joy, in our anxiety and our gratitude, in our uncertainty and relief. No matter where we find ourselves, and especially when we're somewhere in the middle, Christ is risen there and brings new life. In locked houses or on the front lines, Christ is risen there and brings new life. On the road or in limbo, Christ is risen there and brings new life. The power of life will not give death the final word, no matter how it feels right now. I'll say it again. Resurrection is life again. It is rebirth. It's transformation out of brokenness. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Something new and beautiful and powerful can and will be born among us. Because, as Maggie said, Jesus loves us and we love Jesus too. And that is enough for today. In fact, it is everything. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw Jesus, who said to them again, "Peace be with you. As Abba God sent me, so I'm sending you." After saying this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We're staying home, but Jesus still sends us with his peace and with his love, giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us in sharing peace and love with the world. This is enough, and this is everything.